So we have Chairman Edwards hit the 1 o'clock mark.
Okay.
I think you're ready to go.
All right. And at this time, 1 p.m. Wednesday, June 10th, 2020, I'd like to convene the meeting of the Executive Committee of the Board of Trustees of the University of Illinois. The purpose of this meeting is to consider matters that are urgent and need to be addressed before the next regular meeting of the board. You have received the proposed items with a copy of today's agenda. Before we begin, I would like to go through a few of our ground rules. This is a meeting of the Executive Committee of the Board of Trustees, which consists of Trustees Cepeda and Holmes, with me serving as chair. Other trustees have been notified of the meeting, and several have chosen to attend as guests. I remind all that this is a public meeting and is being streamed. If you are not speaking, please mute your microphone, as we have found this greatly enhances the sound quality of the meeting in the virtual environment. At this time, I'd like to ask the secretary to please call the roll.
Mr. Cepeda.
Here.
Chairman Edwards.
Here.
Ms. Holmes.
Here.
All present, and you do have a quorum.
Thank you, Greg.
And so let me note at this time the others that are here for the sake of the viewing audience. Other trustees that I've noticed are Trustee Jacobson, Trustee King, Trustee McMillan, Trustee Mitchell, Trustee Smart. Others also include President Colleen, Executive Vice President Dr. Barb Wilson, Vice President Comptroller Dr. Avijit Ghosh, University Legal Counsel Tom Barrows, Executive Director of University Relations Tom Hardy, Secretary of the Board Gregory Knott, our chancellors from Chicago, Dr. Michael Amoritas, from Springfield, Dr. Susan Cook, and from Urbana, Dr. Robert Jones, and also interim UIS Chancellor Designate, Dr. Karen Whitney, and our provost, Dr. Papini from Springfield, and Dr. Kangalaris from Urbana, and I didn't see yet, and Susan, and Provost Poser is also present from Chicago, and staff members, Michael Hallahan, Ellen Foran, and Cody Pope. And those are the ones that I've noted in attendance.
Thank you, Greg. We have a very limited agenda item for today, which includes two items for action, which you have received in your board materials. However, since we have such a robust group of guests, including our trustees, our chancellors, provosts, et cetera, I think it's a good opportunity, given all that's going on, to ask President Colleen, before we address our two agenda items, to give a brief overview on updates for the university system in light of the current crisis we are in. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'll be extremely brief, but I really do appreciate all the trustees' willingness to participate in this special executive session to deal with two urgent items. As a general update, I'll start with the healthcare system. It's in great shape. We have discharged more than 1,100 COVID patients. We're now seeing an abating of the pressure in terms of admissions. And as you know, our doctors and the medical staff are conducting nationally prominent clinical trials, and we have just been selected to be the first and only Chicago-based site for the human vaccine trial, the most probably important trial that you've been reading about from Moderna. We have started reopening non-COVID elements of the hospital system, including surgical procedures, radiological procedures, but we've kept our testing sites going, notably in South Shores, which is one of the worst hit zip codes in the country. We're doing testing and tracing. Over 18,000 tests have been conducted in the hospital system, and we're providing continued technical and advice to both the city and the state on reopening plans from the perspective of expert infectious disease experts, epidemiology, which is guiding the state as it moves forward, and so forth. So all of that is in very good shape, and I hope you share my pride with the response of our wonderful healthcare professionals on the front lines of this. In the meantime, we've been very active on advocacy, both in the state side and the national side, And we were pleased with the state budget, bipartisan budget that got through most recently. And we spoke with many, many of the state legislators to prepare them for that. Very effective support of higher education, given the circumstances. And we're also working with our federal delegation, which has been very effective. We're paying attention to fundraising. We're on track for another good year for fundraising. We're paying attention to enrollments, and there's some uncertainty and some likely softening of enrollments because of the crisis situation, notably with maybe some of our foreign students, but it's in reasonably good shape too, so we're not expecting any catastrophic declines, although we'll be paying close attention to that. Over the summer months. Our commencements went well. We've graduated a lot of young and older people with their degrees. We're working for the state on economic forecasts and have activated about 40 professors who are doing, in finance experts and so forth, who are doing detailed studies by sector, by geography, of the impact of the crisis on family resilience and the economic circumstances of the state. And we're also, of course, doing our own economic analysis on our both the expense size and the cost side of University of Illinois system's response to the crisis. And we have done a scenario planning exercise, and we are taking, I think, prudent steps in stewardship going forward into the next fiscal year that are built around a, not the worst scenario, but a pretty bad scenario. So we feel like we will weather this financially, although you have seen a system on the belt tightening and the stringencies that we're putting in place already to ensure that we get through this on a financial side. Our faculty are working hard on their pedagogies. We've launched academic instructional academies over the summer so that our faculty are tuning up their online programs so that we can have robust hybrid models going into the fall. Lastly, our preparations for the fall reopening, where we assume we'll be in phase four of the state's Restore Illinois plan, is moving forward very aggressively. Under Bob Wilson and Avijit Ghosh, we have a coordinating committee at the system level that is in close contact with multiple task forces at each one of our universities that are looking at the very detailed plans for protocols, sanitation, use of space and time in providing for social distancing of returning students, housing, dining, testing systems that will be in place, digital contact tracing that will be featured prominently in University of Illinois systems progress, quarantining as needed, and all of that will be announced in greater detail at the middle of the month. So you can anticipate, trustees, a system-wide announcement about the 15th of June to be followed by more detailed announcements from each one of our three universities on their detailed plans for the fall. So all of that work is well underway. I wanted to reassure the trustees that vacations are not being taken widely as far as I can see. Everybody is working hard. There's been very little complaining or people are buckling down in ways that you'd expect of this magnificent university system. So thank you, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity to give a brief summary of where we are. Obviously, we'll give more detailed summaries at the full board meeting.
Thank you, President Kleen. At this time, would you please review our first agenda item, the appointment of Interim Chancellor, University of Illinois at Springfield, and Vice President, University of Illinois.
Thank you, Chairman Edwards, and good afternoon once again, committee members. Today, I am recommending that you approve the appointment of Karen M. Whitney as Interim Chancellor of the University of Illinois at Springfield, while we conduct a nationwide search for a permanent chancellor to lead UIS, recognizing the retirement of Chancellor Cook later this month. The search is expected to bring in later this year, but we're very excited, I'm personally excited, at the arrival of Dr. Whitney that we're seeking your approval for. She began serving as interim chancellor on a designate basis just this Monday, working closely with Chancellor Cook, who, as you know, is retiring, and the two of them have been in regular contact in the last few days. With your approval from the Executive Committee, Dr. Whitney would serve in this interim role for a year or until a permanent chancellor is appointed. Executive Vice President and Vice President for Academic Affairs, Barbara Wilson, and I worked intensively on this recruitment over the last months, and we have updated the board several times on this. And Bob and I came to recommend Dr. Whitney after a thorough process, and we both consider her to be an ideal choice to lead UIS until a permanent successor for Dr. Cook is chosen. As I reported last time, we conducted a search of a diverse set of prominent higher education leaders, which has led us in this direction. Dr. Whitney is an accomplished higher education leader and has excelled during a stellar career in roles that make her very familiar with university systems and us in particular. Dr. Whitney served as interim chancellor of the Pennsylvania State System of Higher Education in the most recent 2017 academic year. In that role, she led 14 universities with a combined enrollment of more than 100,000 students and more than 12,000 faculty and staff. The Penn State system has a $2.3 billion budget. I hate to brag, but we're significantly bigger. But it does make it one of the largest university systems in the country. Dr. Whitney's expertise lies in higher education finance and administration, skills she used in collaboration with Pennsylvania lawmakers and local leaders to ensure that the Pennsylvania state system's campuses remained a priority and a fully appreciated asset to the state and regions they serve. She also collaborated with their system's 14 university presidents as they worked to increase enrollment. Dr. Whitney led the Pennsylvania system after her successful tenure as president of one of its universities. She was president of Clarion University for 7 years and remains president emerita there. Her experience at Clarion was another important factor for us because Clarion has a great deal in common with UIS. Clarion's enrollment is about 5,200, just slightly more than UIS, and the university has about 700 faculty. Under Dr. Whitney's leadership, Clarion adapted nimbly to the needs of the region it serves in Western Pennsylvania. The university worked with business and civic leaders to establish superior professional programs in business, education, health, and human services, all to meet the needs of employers in the region. Dr. Whitney has also shown great aptitude in the unique role of an interim chancellor, the ability to quickly assess the culture and needs of an institution. She did a lot of homework, I can tell you, on this appointment. Then to steer it on the right course and to have a positive impact. She has also held leadership and administrative roles at the University of Houston, University of Texas in San Antonio, and at Indiana University, Purdue University, Indianapolis. Over the course of her career, Dr. Whitney has demonstrated an absolute commitment to diversity. She was Vice Chancellor for Student Life and Dean of Students at IUPUI, where she established a strong culture of inclusion and social equity. And as President of Clarion, she created a first ever strategic plan for diversity and worked with the Provost and Deans there to increase student, staff, and faculty diversity. For all of these reasons, Dr. Whitney stood out as we considered each member of what was a very worthy field of candidates. Dr. Whitney and our other candidates came to us through the registry, which, as I've mentioned before, is a nationally recognized firm that specializes in identifying exceptional experienced leaders, seasoned leaders for interim positions in higher education. We identified for the registry goals for the position at UIS, and it provided us with 9 diverse candidates. From that list, 5 were selected for interviews, which further narrowed the field to 3 finalists. Over the same period, input was gathered from the UIS community stakeholders about the issues and initiatives they believe an interim chancellor should focus on and the type of leadership they would like to see. We spoke to dozens of UIS students, faculty, staff, and alumni. Our 3 finalists also heard from those key stakeholders in their own meetings, and we asked the stakeholders to provide feedback on the candidates through an anonymous survey. Dr. Whitney emerged as a clear front runner, and Barb and I are in complete agreement. Through this process, I've gotten to know Dr. Whitney. She is both a capable leader and a committed, caring educator. And I'm proud to hereby recommend her to you as the interim chancellor of the University of Illinois at Springfield. Thank you again, Chairman Edwards and members of the committee.
Thank you, President Colleen. We'll vote on that item after we hear our second item, which is a request to revise the policy requiring standardized tests for beginning freshman applicants to undergraduate programs pursuant to a one-time process for fall 2021. Vice President Barb Wilson, would you please review this item for the committee?
Thank you, Chair Edwards. This is a proposal that's coming to us from the universities. It's a one-time proposal for 1 year that we may move to what we call a test optional admissions process for freshmen for 2021. The main reason for proposing this is because of the COVID pandemic. As many of you know, the ACT and SAT test dates have been canceled throughout the spring and into the early summer. We don't know when they're going to start up again because of the challenges related to physical distancing. And at one point, the companies thought they might move to home testing, but all of those proposals are on hold right now for a series of technological reasons. So currently, students would have a very difficult time finding a way to take the ACT or SAT exams. So the universities are proposing to go test optional for 1 year only. This again applies to starting undergraduate studies in the fall of 2021. Students will be able to select an option to go test or no test, but many of them obviously will go test optional because there's no test being done right now. But if there is a score available at some point, the universities would consider that in the holistic review of applications. The holistic review already considers a lot of other factors, including GPA, grade trends, the rigor of coursework during high school, whether students take an honors and AP classes, how many extracurricular activities a student may have engaged in, as well as leadership activities. So there's a variety of other factors that are already weighed in the admissions process, and this test optional would put a little more weight on those factors in lieu of the ACT or SAT score. As many of you know, dozens of other universities across the country are doing this or have already done it. I'll just name a few: University of Washington, the University of California system, so all of the schools within the UCal system, Michigan State, University of Virginia, and many private schools such as USC, Harvard, Cornell, Boston U, and Dartmouth. I could go on, but I'll stop there. Lots of schools are doing this, so this proposal is for a one-year test optional process. Urbana is not included at this point in time because Urbana is still consulting with the Academic Senate. I believe that Provost Kangalaris is meeting today with the Senate, so we may have news about that, and the proposal allows them to join in on this process, assuming that they make that decision to do so. And so I think I'll stop there and see if there are any questions.
Any questions from the committee members regarding this item? Any questions from any of our guests regarding this item? No. Okay. Thank you, Vice President Wilson. We will now have a roll call vote on our agenda items. Greg, will you please read the title of the items on the regular agenda?
Item one. Appoint Interim Chancellor, University of Illinois at Springfield, and Vice President, University of Illinois. Item two, revise the policy requiring standardized tests for beginning freshman applicants to undergraduate programs pursuant to a one-time process for fall 2021.
May I have a motion to approve the items?
So moved.
May I have a second?
Second.
Patricia seconded. At this time, is there any further discussion regarding either of the items?
None for me.
None for me.
Thank you. Greg, would you please conduct a roll call vote of the executive committee members?
This is a roll call vote of the executive committee members of agenda items 1 through 2. Mr. Cepeda?
Yes to both.
Mr. Edwards?
Yes to both.
Ms. Holmes?
Yes to both.
Chairman Edwards, you have the motion's passed by unanimous vote.
Great. The items are hereby approved. At this time, before we adjourn, I'd just like to make a couple comments myself. One, I would like to, for a last time, say thank you to Chancellor Cook for everything she's done for UIS and for our system and for the people of Illinois over the past decade. We've spent a lot of time talking about all the things she's done, so I won't repeat that. But once again, I want to, on behalf of the board, thank you and wish you all the best in the future.
Thank you, Chairman Edwards.
And I would be remiss at this time if I didn't welcome Dr. Whitney, who we are thrilled to have, based on the interview process and the CV, thrilled to have join us in this interim role at UIS. And as Dr. Kleen said, I can't imagine someone with better experience to take over UIS in this interim role. So unfortunately, we have to welcome you, Dr. Whitney, on Zoom, but we do look forward to the day we get to see you, not just in Springfield. Oh, there we go. Well done. And if you'd like to say any hello or quick words, let me turn it over to you.
Very quickly, I appreciate the confidence. I obviously started adding to my to-do list as the president talked, and I'm thrilled to be joining the University of Illinois family, the system, and leading UIS. Let us be very clear, during this incredible moment in world history, and certainly in the history of higher education. It's an honor, a privilege, and a thrill, and I know that one day we will be together and we will be able to celebrate our accomplishments and truly what would be heroic leadership going forward. Thank you. And I'm working to get properly dressed. I have a hat, so I'm good.
Thank you, Dr. Whitney.
Thank you.
Okay. And then lastly, I'd just like to once again for our board members and our public just emphasize how hard our administration is working through this, you know, very difficult time for our university, for our state, for our nation, for the world, actually. Anyone who knows a system like the University of Illinois knows that you do not turn this kind of institution quickly. Mm-hmm. We are certainly a battleship in the world of education, or an aircraft carrier, maybe even worse, in terms of agility. It is not necessarily easy to change academic pedagogy over a long period of time, much less a short period of time, which is what each of our administrations at UIC, UIUC, and UIS are being asked to do. It's a Herculean task. Everyone's working 24/7. We're trying to figure out how do we, you know, emphasize safety while still providing our students with the best possible leading education in the United States. And it's a tall order, but our team is up to the task. And, you know, I just want to, on behalf of the board, thank the administration of both the system and each of our universities for the hard work that is being put in to get us to an opening of our campuses for the fall semester. So with that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Don, can I?
Sure.
A simple thank you. Susan, thank you, and Karen, welcome. I'll take this moment to thank Michael for your work and partnership with me, Michael, over the last couple of, ten days that we've had in this. For a little context, after the protest in the city of Chicago, as you know, we've had some looting going on. What has been reported is one thing. Behind the scenes, there's also been conflict amongst the gangs in the city of Chicago, specifically on the west side. And it's bled over into the African-American Latino communities and created additional tension there. We have my organization, Arnie Duncan's, and a few others have boots on the ground trying to de-escalate the situation. There was in fact a planned shootout. It's like the Wild Wild West after the events that unfolded in Cicero that many of you have seen on television. Well, behind the scenes, there was a lot of work going on to bring the men from both sides of the neighborhood to develop a truce. And our organization, together with Arnie and again, a few others, were able to pull these young men and establish a truce. After that, we had a silent, almost, press conference at Granderson Stadium at UIC. And it was UIC was picked because it's neutral ground and seen as a safe space for people. And so the stadium was picked because we could social distance as we're speaking on camera. So that happened. We had representatives from both the African-American Latino community from the federal level to the municipal level there, and they didn't say a word. The only people speaking, they were there to support. The only people speaking were those community members that were in conflict with each other and trying to call for peace. 2 days or so later, we used the Granderson Stadium again. And again, thank you, Michael, for that. But we hosted a conversation post the truce to have these young people come together and speak to each other face-to-face. And they sat in the baseball dugout together with former Secretary Duncan and several of our people, and they just had dialogue. It's still tense. Don't misunderstand what's going on. There's still a lot of tension. Specifically on the west side, but it's gone through other neighborhoods. But as you have seen now, there's been lots of calls for peace and unity and to not be divided and conquered again. All that being said, UIC was seen as neutral ground and a peaceful place to have this conversation. So thank you again to the university and Michael specifically.
It's our pleasure, Rick. It's part of our role here in Chicago to support the city, to support the neighborhoods, and thank you for giving us the opportunity to do this.
Thank you, Trustee Estrada, for that information and update. Appreciate it. Any other comments from any guests or committee members?
This is Patricia. I would like to just welcome Interim Chancellor Whitney. I will look forward to working with you. I apologize that my camera is not working. When I turn it on, I get kicked out of the system. So I think my internet is kind of weak because of the rain over here. But hopefully we will meet soon. And I look forward to assisting you and helping you in everything. And thank you, President Colleen, for your opening update. It always warms my heart to hear how wonderful U of I is doing overall as a system. And to know that, you know, we are leaders in helping the state through this COVID crisis. It's been really challenging, and not just my family, but friends and across, this city of Chicago. It's just been really challenging, as you can tell by Trustee Estrada's comments. And so I'm just glad that we are in the forefront on that. And, thank you, Chair Edwards, for your leadership. I really appreciate that, everything. I know you've got a whole lot going on, and to have to then, deal with the University of Illinois and all the things that are taking place in the education arena, I know it's got to be nerve-wracking, as with all the chancellors and everyone else. So thank everybody for all the hard work.
Thank you, Trustee Holmes. You know, actually, you know, with Trustee Cepeda's, Estrada's comments regarding the efforts his organization is making and utilizing UIC, I would like to thank the chancellors and emphasize for the public the messages that they have put out regarding race relations in this country and the effort that each of our universities makes to overcome the systemic racism that has been part of our country since before it was founded and still remains with us today. And I would emphasize everyone, I would ask everyone to go back and read those messages from our chancellors about this topic and where the University of Illinois and President Clean as well on his statements, where we stand on this issue, pushing forward for justice, and not just equality, but justice as well across our system. With that, I will ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved. So,
second.
All in favor? Greg, conduct the roll call.
Thank you. On the adjournment, Mr. Cepeda.
I approve. Yes.
Chairman Edwards.
Yes.
Ms. Holmes.
Yes.
And you are officially adjourned, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. And we'll be in close touch. You know, we're going to have a few more of these potentially over the next few months. And we do have our full board meeting still on the agenda. I don't know, Greg, if we have gotten approval from the governor to have it in a virtual environment, but hopefully you'll update us soon.
Yeah, still pending, but I will definitely be in touch with everyone.
Okay. All right. Thank you, everybody.